being overcomers. And in particular, we've talked about overcoming strongholds like fear and guilt and shame. We've talked about overcoming anxiety. We've even talked about overcoming depression. And this morning we're going to talk about how that we can become overcomers over something as strong as addiction. You know, we think about that term addiction, and I think for most of us, we immediately begin to think about probably the two most common types of addictions that we would think of would be, you know, somebody who suffers from alcoholism or somebody who suffers from drug addiction. But the truth and the reality is addiction is far more widespread than just things like alcoholic beverage and drugs. Addiction can be any number of things in your life. It is even possible, a lot of people would not think this, but it is even possible that we would be addicted to things that in and of themselves are not necessarily bad. I have known people that that are addicted to a healthy diet. And you think, well, what's wrong with that? I've known people that have been addicted to working out. And the problem with addiction is when it becomes so controlling in your life that it does not allow you to do what you know you need to do. It doesn't allow you to be that normal person that you know you should be. Addiction can be a lot of different things. We're going to talk about those things this morning. I'd ask if you would please turn with me to the book of James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1 verses 13, 14, and 15. I'd like to read together this morning. James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. And I know you just sat down, but as tradition, as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, I would ask that you please stand, if you can. James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. James, the brother of Christ, says it this way. He says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come and to be here in your house, Lord. Father, I just pray that as we come to a close in this series of overcoming strongholds, that, Lord, you would help us to overcome this stronghold of addiction. Lord, I know many in my family, I know many in my circle of loved ones, Lord, who have suffered from the addictions of alcohol, suffered from the addictions of drugs. But Lord, I have known others of brothers and sisters in Christ who have struggled with addictions of many different kinds. And Lord, Father, I pray that if there is somebody here today who is struggling with that bondage of addiction, then Lord, I would lift them up and I would pray, Father, that this message in some small way, Lord, might help lead them, point them, and guide them within the direction that they should go. And Lord, I pray today that they would turn not only just to this message, but Lord, I pray more importantly that they would turn to you, that they would trust in you for the healing and the changing of their heart and their life that they so desperately need to be that overcomer. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here today who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, that, Lord, that they would see today that true first step in overcoming anything is beginning with a relationship in you. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here who's never known you, Lord, that you would just speak upon their heart, Lord, that you would lead and guide them to repentance, Lord, that they would see that truly today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray likewise for the Christian believers here. Lord, I know that in the walk with you that it becomes a struggle sometimes to keep on that path. Lord, I know that it's easy to be tempted. And Lord, I know that it's easy to want to turn away from the path that you have placed us on. And Lord, I pray for those Christians who struggle with that today. Lord, I uplift them to you and I pray for them. Lord, I pray that you touch hearts in a mighty way. Lord, Father, I uplift myself to you today. Lord, I'd ask that you forgive me of my many failures and my many shortcomings. Lord, I fail you daily. Lord, I pray that you but use me as a mouthpiece and a tool. Lord, I pray that you but preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit just to take hold of this service and lead, guide, and direct in every way. Now, Lord, open up our hearts and our ears. Open up our minds, Lord, as you teach us. about how we can overcome addiction. So Lord Father, it's all this we pray and ask in the name of Your holy and precious Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, we think about things like alcohol, we think about things like drugs, and we know that those things are very addicting, that they are addicting physically, emotionally, and that the struggle to overcome those things is almost insatiable at times. And if we're all honest with each other, we have probably had family members, loved ones, who we have seen struggle with those addictions, and we have seen them try to overcome in seasons. We've seen them maybe fail at times. We've seen how sick that they get. We've seen how frustrated that they become. And it's heartbreaking when we look at addiction in that terms, but I also want to look at addiction in other terms. We have probably all known somebody who may be addicted to spending money. Anybody ever known anybody like that?
Yes.
Yeah. And most husbands would say, yeah, I know somebody like that. They're sitting to my left or they're sitting to my right. We joke about it a little bit, but the addiction to spending is a very real thing. You know, it is a very real thing. We talk about the addiction to earn money. I know people who have been obsessed with amassing wealth, amassing money, for the desire and the purpose of just having the wealth and having the money. We talk about addiction to things like sex. We talk about addiction to things like pornography. And those are topics that make people uncomfortable, that people don't want to talk about, that they're very ashamed of. But the truth and the reality is this, is those two topics in and of themselves, sex and pornography, covers the vast majority of addictions for Christians who will admit to the addictions that they suffer from. The vast majority evolve and revolve around those two topics. You know, we don't want to talk about things like addiction in the church. We don't want to talk about things like addiction amongst God's people because, you know, we think about addiction as a very dirty thing. You know, they say, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I don't suffer from these problems. I don't have those things in my life. And the truth and reality is so many of us have many different types of addictions. It may not be to the cultural mainstream, but you may be suffering from something that is controlling your life. As Paul once said it, he says, I want to be mastered by no thing. He says, I want to be a slave to nothing. When we talk about the topic of addiction, we're talking about the things that master us. We're talking about the things that enslave us. And it is those things that can keep us from being the men and women of God that He wants us to be. And that's when the addiction becomes a stronghold. When it keeps us from being the men and the women of God that we know that He wants us to be. And for me, that's why this series has been important. For me, it's been about helping you to see and understand how that fear and anxiety and guilt and depression and all the things that we've talked about like shame, how that those things can seep into our life and tell us you'll never be good enough, you can never change, you're dirty, you're filthy, you're unrighteous, God has no use of you, God doesn't love you, He has no plans for you. And we become consumed by all those thoughts and those ideas and eventually it seems like we just give up. And when we talk about addiction, it's easy for us to say, I'm dirty and I'm filthy and I'm righteous and there's no way that God can change my life. And we have this attitude of just defeat from the beginning. Now, if you've got a pencil, if you've got a pen, if you don't have anything but your phone, I want you to begin writing down the things that I'm going to share with you. Because if you don't have an addiction in your life or you're unwilling to be truthful about something that you're suffering from, that you are enslaved to, I promise that you know somebody who suffers through addiction. And I want you to be able to share these things with them. If not yourself, you can share them with somebody else. The first thing that you need to do and the first thing that you need to see and understand if you're going to be an overcomer to addiction is you have to be determined to change. I think the attitude a lot of times is that, yes, my addiction is wrong. Yes, my addiction consumes and controls my life. But the truth and the reality about a lot of our addictions is we're addicted to things that make us feel good in the moment, that make us feel good in the season. Would everybody agree with that? Whatever it is that maybe masters or enslaves part of your life, whether it be big, small, or otherwise, would you not probably agree that what you're doing makes you feel good? It makes you feel pleasurable, even if only for a season, even if only for a moment in time. For that moment in time, it feels good. Afterwards, you may feel terrible. Afterwards, you may feel the other things that we've talked about, like guilt and shame. You may even feel fear in moments and seasons in your addiction, but you continue to go back to it. Why? Because for the season, it feels good. We have to be determined. You and I, we have to make the decision if we're going to overcome our addictions, whatever that addiction might be, we've got to make that decision that I'm done. I am ready to change. Words are cheap, are they not? It's easy for us to say today, I'm ready to change. You know when the most common moment for somebody who is addicted to something, you know when the most common moment for them to say, I'm ready to change is? Immediately after that pleasurable feeling goes away. Then they're ready to change. But in the moment when they want that fix just one more time, change becomes the farthest thing from your mind. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever faced that struggle? If you've never faced it, if you've never been there, it's real. If you've never faced it, if you've never been there, it's so difficult and it's so hard. But we as God's people have to make the decision, I am ready for change. We have to be determined, we're going to give this up. We have to be determined, I'm ready to lay this down. But more importantly, we need to see and understand that being determined in our change and in our mindset of change, we need to know that we cannot do this on our own. Amen? When we're determined to change, we need to understand that it's not all about us, but rather it's about what God is going to do through our lives. How He is going to help change us. How He is going to motivate us. How He is going to help us stay on the path. But the decision begins with us in saying, I am ready for change. The second thing that I want you to do is ask yourself a question. Why am I addicted to the thing that I am addicted to? Why do I do what I do? Does anybody ever really know the answer to that? I think it's a difficult question. I think it's a hard question to really know the answer to. But I think it's a question that a lot of times we ignore. I think it's a question that a lot of times we just don't want to answer. Why? Because maybe we are ashamed of what the answer is. Maybe we feel guilty about what the answer is as to why we do what we do. Your addiction to alcoholism and drugs, your addiction to sex, your addictions to pornography, your addictions to the spending of money, your addictions to working out at the gym, your addictions to whatever it is that you may be addicted to, why do you do that? What is it that has triggered you to want to find that pleasurable season, that pleasurable moment in your life? You know, a lot of people just say, well, I do it because I do it. That's not a good answer. I'm telling you, that is not a reasonable answer. You do what you do for a reason. Amen? Whether you want to believe it or not, I'm telling you, you do what you do for a reason. And it's more than just because I do or because I enjoy. A lot of times you're doing what you are doing because there is something in your life that you are missing. There is something in your life that you want to replace. There is something in your life that you want to fix something that has gone terribly wrong. You have that feeling that maybe nobody loves you. You have that feeling as if nobody cares. You have that feeling of loss. You have that feeling of being let down. Whatever the case may be, you need to know and understand why it is that you do what you do. Now that is a difficult question to answer, and it may mean for you that you really need to spend some time in prayer. You need to be in prayer anyways, but you need to be asking God and asking of the Spirit to help you see and understand the unresolved issues that you have in your heart and in your life that are leading you to these decisions over and over and over again. How could you possibly begin to deal with your addiction if you truly do not understand what it is that drives you to make that decision over and over again? Be determined to change. Ask yourself, why is it that I do what I do? But know this, in the process of your change, when you ask yourself why it is that you're doing what you're doing, know that God will help. The beautiful thing about overcoming shame and guilt and fear and anxiety and depression and addiction or any other stronghold that we could talk about is that you do not have to overcome this by yourself. Somebody should say amen. You don't have to overcome this by yourself. You don't have to face this struggle alone. And it's not just that you're, you know, it's not just enough that your family's going to be there. It's not just enough that you would have a support group. And those are good things and you need those things. But you don't have to face those things alone. You don't have to face those things with just a support group or just your family. You've got the greatest support group of all. You've got the help of an Almighty God. And know this, God cares about your struggle. God cares about your fear. He cares about your anxiety. He cares about your guilt. He cares about your shame. He cares about your depression. He cares about the struggle of addiction. When you do these things in this pleasurable season, you may not know in the instant, you may not know in the moment, but God cares and His desire is to help you see why you're doing what you're doing and to help you overcome it. God cares. Not only does He want to help, but He truly cares about helping you. He truly cares about helping you to be an overcomer. I think of Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Good scripture. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty." Look at this. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Look at what Christ and His mission is. He says, "I have come to proclaim the gospel, the good news of the one who sent me. I have come to proclaim the news of my Father, and He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives." First and foremost, in changing your heart, in changing your life, it begins with a relationship in Christ Jesus. Christ has come to set you free of all of your sin and all of your unrighteousness. He has come to save your soul above all things. But it's about more than just saving your soul. As He saves your soul, He's going to change your heart and He's going to change your life. As Paul said, "I became a new creature and a new creation in Christ Jesus." So He changes our mindset and He changes our heart. He doesn't just give us liberty from sin, but He gives us freedom in Christ Jesus. He gives us freedom from the bondages and the chains of sin. He allows us to recover the sight of the blind, He says, and furthermore to set liberty to those who are oppressed. Sin is an oppressive thing, is it not? Amen, it is. Addiction is an oppressive thing. It seems like it's something that we just cannot overcome, that we cannot let down, that continues to rear its head over and over and over again. But we don't have to fret because we have a God who is here to help. We have a God who genuinely cares. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Paul said it this way. He says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Christ says, "I come to give you liberty." He says, "I come to set you free." He says, "I come to make sure that you're not oppressed and in bondage anymore." And Paul says, "Let us draw near to the throne of grace with confidence." Meaning, let us come to God in confidence. Why? That we might receive the mercy and grace that He has intended for us in our season of need. God cares. In your moment of addiction, in your moment of anxiety and depression and fear and guilt and shame, God cares. And in your season of need, He has not only mercy, but He also has grace. Amen? In your season of need, expect God to help. Be determined to change. Question why it is that you do what you do. Expect God to help you. But I think it's also important that we adopt a strategy to stop. You know, we can talk a good game sometimes, but it's just like I said earlier, talk is cheap. We have that talk, we say that saying, "I want to quit, I'm done, I'm ready to change." And then we want that high, we want that good feeling one more time, and then we throw that over the wayside. Well, talk is cheap. It's not just about talking about change. It's not just about talking about what we want to do. It's not just about talking about how we want that freedom, how we want that liberty. It's truly about adopting a strategy that's going to help us to stop doing what it is that we're doing. For some of us, maybe that really does mean resolving unresolved issues in our life. You know, we think that's silly. Well, that's silly that we'd have unresolved issues in our life. I'm going to tell you something. Unresolved emotional issues in your life can impact you spiritually and emotionally. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Listen, I'm a proponent for good mental health. That's what most of my undergraduate study was in. And I believe that mental health is a real thing. You know, a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers would want to maybe tell you that it's not, that Christians don't need to worry about those kinds of things. But I'm telling you, they're very real things. And I'm telling you that unresolved issues in your life can lead to problems on down the road. And moms and dads, I want to give you a great example. Be a good mother and be a good father. Because leaving your children with unresolved issues about the relationship that they had with you growing up will affect their life. It will affect their life. That's why the Lord tells us to be good mothers and good fathers. That's why the Lord tells us and commands us that we teach our children. That's just one of many examples that I'm going to give you that are going to impact the lives of others if we leave those issues unresolved. We need to make a plan. We need to make a plan to change. We need to make a plan to stop doing what it is that we're doing. And that may mean dealing with those unresolved issues. That may mean asking for forgiveness. That may mean sharing with somebody how it is that they've hurt you. That may mean in a difficult moment in your life, you're going to have to forgive them for the hurt that they've done to you. That may mean forgiving mother or father. That may mean forgiving your closest friend, a brother or a sister or a fellow Christian. But you need to seek out to forgive or to be forgiven. Those are some of the greatest steps that you can begin to take to adapt change in your heart and change in your life. Paul, in his writings to the church of Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, verses 8, 9, and 10, Paul shared it this way. He says, "But now you must put them all away." He speaks of these things, talking about anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk. He says in verse 9, he says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator." As we lay down those things that he describes, anger, malice, and wrath, talking about asking for forgiveness, asking to be forgiven, making the decision that we're not going to be the old person that we used to be, but we're going to be the new person in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Do you understand what it means to really accept Christ into your heart? Do you understand the level of change that takes place? Paul says we put on a new self, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. We're not like the old self anymore, but we become the new self who is likened unto God. He says, created in that image of the Creator. You see, becoming more Christ-like is a journey that we should all take. Amen? Becoming more Christ-like is something that is expected of us. When we invite Christ into our heart, it's expected that we would change our heart, change our life, change our actions, and change our deeds so that we would be more like Him. You see, implementing all of those things, putting on the new self, asking for forgiveness, forgiving, putting away malice and anger and wrath, putting away all those sins and unrighteous deeds and activities, those are the things that help us put together a plan to stop doing what we're doing. Talk is cheap. As Benjamin Franklin said, actions speak louder than words. You want to change? Turn to God. He'll help you change. But change. Amen? Not only that, I believe as we adopt that strategy to stop, the next thing that we have to do is abandon foolish thinking. Almost every week in some way, I have mentioned about how the mind controls, how the mind is a powerful thing. We talked about it last week. We talked about it with anxiety. We talked about it with depression, fear, and guilt, and shame. We talked about the role that the mind plays. You and I, we have to get control of our mind. We just let our minds run wild sometimes. We think up things that are silly. We think up things that are foolish. We become consumed by things that really do not matter. And we just allow our brains to run wild. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says it this way. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, this struggle to overcome addiction, fear, guilt, anxiety, depression, shame, all of those things, that struggle of being an overcomer, it's more than just the physical struggle. It really has a lot to do with this right here, the emotional struggle, the spiritual struggle. And a lot of that takes place right here in the mind and right here in the heart. It's about putting away foolish thoughts. It's about putting away foolish thinking. What is foolish thoughts? What are foolish thinkings? I'll give you a few examples. I'm not good enough. I can never change. God doesn't care. God doesn't love me. I can never overcome this. There's no way that I could possibly lay this down. Those are examples of foolish thinking when we talk about addiction. I want you to know and understand God loves you. I want you to know and understand that God cares. I want you to know and understand that you can be an overcomer. I want you to know and understand that whatever it is that you struggle with, you can lay it down with the help of God. Amen. Those are the true things. Those are the true things. Satan will tell you all the other things. That foolish thinking, Satan will have you convinced that you can do nothing, that you're powerless. He'll convince you that you can never be an overcomer. He'll convince you that you're dirty, that you're rotten, that you're nasty. But what did we learn about Satan? We learned that he is the father of lies, that he is the author of lies. We learned that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he does not have your best interest of mind. Turn to the truth. Turn to God's Word and abandon foolish thinking. The next thing that I want you to do is distance yourself. Sometimes with addiction, it becomes this struggle of wanting to turn back. You know, I have seen it personally in the career that I work in. People will do good for months or sometimes years with overcoming drug addiction. And then in one small season, in just one moment, they turn all of that over and they go right back to that old lifestyle. And so often it only takes one instance of, I'll give you an example, seeing an old friend. Somebody that they used to get high with. Somebody that they spent a lot of time doing a lot of things that they shouldn't have been doing. They've been away from them for a long time and they see them. And maybe they've been doing well, but that old friend is not. That old friend might remind them of something that they did and talk about how great it was, and you remember that. And then before you know it, they're back into an old lifestyle, making bad decisions once again. We have to make hard decisions in giving up our addictions. Sometimes that does mean letting old friendships go. That's a difficult thing to do, is it not? Letting old friendships go. Sometimes that means more than just letting friends go. Sometimes that means not being able to connect with family like we want to. You know as well as I do that sometimes our family, as much as we love them, as much as we care for them, but sometimes our family in a season of addiction is not good for us. Amen? I just want you to be honest. I just want you to see and understand that you're going to have to make that decision to distance yourself from your addiction. That means getting away from it entirely. If it's drugs, you can't hang around the people you used to hang around. You can't go to the places that you used to go. Amen? You can't go to the old neighborhoods where you used to score. You can't go to the places where you used to get high. If your addiction is sex or pornography, maybe you don't need a computer. That's just the truth, the reality of it. Maybe you don't need to be unsupervised on your phone. That's just the truth and the reality of it. Maybe you need an accountability partner who can keep you honest and who can keep you on the right track. And there's no shame, even as an adult, in having an accountability partner in Christ who can help keep you in check. Amen? Iron sharpens iron. Amen is what the Word of God says. Iron sharpens iron. We may need that person in our life who can help us, but we need to learn to distance ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He says it this way. He says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Flee. That's a strong word. In the Scripture, when you look at that word and you look at that context, flee, it literally means to escape it. Get away from it. Get away from it as hard and as quick and as fast as you can. Flee it. Get away from your passions and do what? Pursue righteousness. You see, in turning away from your addictions, it's going to be about putting other things in the place of that addiction. What are the things that you can put in place of that addiction? How about righteousness, faith, love, peace? And he says, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Put good people in your life. Amen? Put good, godly people in your life. Distance yourself. Abandon that foolish thinking. Adopt a strategy to stop. Expect that God will help. Ask yourself, why do I do what I do? And be determined to change. The last thing that I want you to see before our praise and our worship team comes and they can go ahead and prepare and come forward. The last thing that I want you to see is this, is that you need to believe in a complete victory. Believe in a complete victory. You know, in the throes of your addiction, you may be thinking right now, there is no way that I can get clean. There is no way that I can get clean and be clean for a lifetime. There's no way I'm ever going to get to be sober and be sober for the rest of my life. You may think there is no way that I can lay this problem down and never pick it up again. Whatever that problem is, whatever that addiction is, whatever that struggle is, right now you may think there's no way. But I'm telling you, through God there is a way. And through God, total victory is possible. Total victory. Not just a partial victory, not just a short-term victory, but a victory that lasts a lifetime. Proverbs 24:16. This is kind of an interesting scripture, but I think it sums up this struggle of addiction and overcoming. He says, "For the righteous fall seven times and rise again." I want you to understand something. In your relationship with Christ, you are never going to be perfect. It's easy to use that as an excuse. Well, I'm never going to be perfect. Why should I try? I'm never going to be perfect. Why should I seek to overcome? I'm never going to be perfect. Why should I lay my addiction down? It feels good in the moment in the season. Why not? Don't use that excuse. Know that you are not perfect. If you truly want to change, maybe you've tried to change, you've struggled with change, you keep coming back to the old lifestyle, to the old habits, picking that addiction right back up. Know this, as he says in the Scripture, the righteous fall seven times and rise again. Now he uses this term, the righteous, to speak of those who know God. The righteous, those who have a relationship with God. As a believer, as a follower, as a Christian, you're going to have seasons when you fail. you're going to fall. You're going to struggle. But here's the beauty of it. But you can rise again. Amen?
Amen.
You can overcome and rise again. But the wicked stumble in times of calamity. For those without God, the outcome is bleak. Without God, when you tell yourself, I can't overcome this, I can't stay clean, I can't stay sober, I can't lay this down for the rest of my life, without God, you're absolutely right. Without God, you can never overcome like you can with His grace and with His mercy. As I mentioned to you earlier, overcoming addiction, depression, anxiety, fear, guilt, shame, all of those things have to start with a relationship in Christ Jesus, knowing Him. And that's as simple as admitting in your heart that you are a sinner who is lost and in need of a Savior. It's as simple as believing that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, that God has raised Him from the dead, that He came and gave His life, that if we believe in Him, we might go free, and confessing that. Confessing to God that you are indeed a sinner in need of a Savior and inviting Christ into your heart. The Word of God says that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Would you not come this morning? You want to be an overcomer? Begin it in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're here as a Christian and you know Him. You have a relationship with Him, but you struggle. You come. This altar's open to you. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray that God help give you the strength. I know there's others that would love to pray for you as well. You respond this morning. You come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come now to a time of response, Lord, as we close out the preaching, I would ask, Lord, that Your Spirit continue to move. Lord, I know that there are people here this morning who struggle with being an overcomer. I know that there are individuals here this morning who struggle with addictions of all kinds. Lord, I pray for them and I uplift them. But Lord, I pray that You put in their heart and in their mind a desire and a determination to change. Lord, Father, I pray that they would come seeking Your help. That, Lord, You would extend Your grace and Your mercy to them. That, Lord, they would make a decision to change their heart and to change their life, to make lifestyle changes, to leave that old self and to put on the renewing of the mind, the transforming of that new person. Lord, Father, I pray that they come this morning to this altar seeking You and You alone. Lord, I pray that the Spirit move for response. Lord, it's all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God.